We certainly did enjoy the good singing this morning. The piano player, and we thank our song leader, piano player. We thank each of you today for taking part in the song service today. And thank you for permitting me to come and preach this morning. It's an honor for me to be here. I appreciate that. Many of you may not know me. I guess a lot of you have seen me on the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. I've been affiliated with the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour for, a number of years. Well, I guess from about the beginning. But they was, for a long time, they were under the authority of different churches where Brother Pitt were members. And then there come a time that Brother Pitt, through prayer, decided that it needed to be set up with a board of directors, and that each church that came to make a take needed to be under their own authority. So they did that, and Don Curtis and myself were two of the original board members that's on the board of directors. Brother Ed Hardy, for a number of years, he was kind of the coordinator at the tapings, and the Lord called Brother Hardy home, and then the Lord called Brother Pitt home, and so they named me chairman of the board of directors of Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. And we'd like to thank y'all for supporting Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. We thank you for you coming down and making tapes and all that you do for the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. It's a mission work that supports all of the missions. Because our missionaries, they can come there and make tapes, and then people can become acquainted with them and see the work that they're doing, and it's just a wonderful mission work, I think, the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, and we love it. Brother Otis Jones, he's the coordinator there, and he does a wonderful job. I mean, the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour has become his life. He loves doing that and does a wonderful job with that. I have a thought on my heart today. The thought came to me yesterday. And I made note of it, and it's take a good look at God and taking a God look at ourselves. Now that sounds a little strange, I guess, but that's the thought that came to my mind yesterday, and I began to try to study on that a little bit, that I might be able to bring a message today. And I don't know how other people study, but I study my subjects whenever that the Lord gives me a little thought or a subject, and I'll start building from that. Now, when we think about us taking a good look at God, for seeing God for who He is, then we think about how that taking a God look at ourselves. And let me remind you that a God look is better than a good look. God sees what we are. There's nobody probably is as good as maybe as they think that they are. But you're probably not as bad as somebody else might think that you are. But you're just exactly what God knows you to be. And that's the way it is with each and every one of us. And that's the way it is today. There's no perfect people in the world. There's no perfect churches in the world. Because churches are made up of people. The word church comes from the word ecclesia, and it's a called out assembly. And that's whenever the people gathered there on the mountain, and the Lord called out of the multitude, He called out 12 and set them apart. So that's the way that I see that, man. We've got some that are seashore Baptists, and we've got some that are mountain Baptists. But whenever I look at the word ecclesia and I think about the called out assembly, then I've got to go back to try to find, well, where was the assembly called out? Well, certainly whenever He walked along the seashore, He called Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and told them to follow Him, and He would make them fishers of men. In other words, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. But then whenever they came to time, they're on the mountain, He set them in office, and He set them apart to do the work. So whenever we begin to think about these things, and we think about the things that God has done, He's a mighty, mighty God. And His presence and His power is unlimited. We're going to look at Psalms 28 for a reading lesson today, and I might read just a little bit of Psalms 29. He said, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down unto the pit. Now, understand here the word pit, and it goes back to the Greek as a cave or a well or a place of imprisonment. He said, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hand toward thy holy articles. And that word articles means a shrine or a place of worship. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their evildoers. Give them after the works of their hands. Render to them their desires. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operations of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointing. Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of wholeness. The voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. So I'm going to stop right there with the reading lesson today. And I want to try to build some thoughts from the reading lesson and talk to you just a little bit about God and who God is and what God is. And I want to talk to you a little bit about his power, about his might. And I want us to have a little understanding today concerning God. Now, we know that God never changes. We live in a changing time. We live in a changing world. Everything around us changes all the time. I went and visited a church last night, but I hadn't been there in a while. And when I walked in, I seen there's a lot of people that wasn't there, that were there before, but they go home before. So things change all about us all the time. But we serve a God that never changes. As a matter of fact, he said in Malachi 3 and verse 6, he said, I'm the Lord thy God and I change not. So God doesn't change. We find our old Lord, I believe it's in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we find that Jesus has never changed. And we find there that from the very beginning of time, we find in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 on down, it tells us that he was from the very foundation of the world. Christ was. So when God created Adam, Christ was there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So God created Adam and he created him there. And Adam walked with the Lord daily. And they spoke. Then God gave him a law. He broke that law. And then there was separation that came. Now, when the separation came, we understand that God drove Adam out of the garden, and the only way that he was to get back was concerning the tree of life, and we understand today concerning that. And in other words, he told him what he was telling there, that the head of the serpent would bruise the heel, and the heel would bruise the head. And there he was preaching to Adam in the Garden of Eden about Christ. How did he come into the world? He would give his life for sinners. And we think about this, and we think about how that people say, well, there was a difference in the New Testament, there's a difference in the Old Testament. Well, now, let's think about that for a minute, because we realize that in the Old Testament dispensation of time concerning Abraham, that God had commanded that they be circumcised, and God's people Israel was recognized by circumcision in the Old Testament time. But then we find in Isaiah 62 and verse 2 that God told Israel that he was going to give them a new name that would be spoken by the mouth of God. And we find there that concerning John the Baptist that came into the world for a purpose of preparing the people for Christ. And we find there that whenever that John was born, in Luke 1 and verse 13, he said his name shall be called John. And we find in John 1 and verse 6, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. So there we find that his name was John. So now we're looking for the new name that we're searching for that he spoke of in Isaiah 62 and 2, where he told Israel that he was going to give them a new name. But then we find in Matthew 3 and 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And then we find that we find over there in Romans 5 and Romans 6, where that he says that as we're baptized, we're showing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we're buried in his likeness to be ready to walk in the newness of life. So there we find that whenever that baptism is instituted, so God is a commandment. It's not just a request, but it's a commandment that those who are saved by God's grace be recognized with his people. So we find there that maybe you may say, well, you know, I've been saved by God's grace, but the Lord hasn't led me to join any certain church. The Lord commanded that you be baptized to follow him, to walk in the newness of life. In other words, bury the old man. Bury that old man of sin and show the world that I am new. I have been born again. I have been born from within, and now greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. So whenever we begin to think about these things and have a little bit of an understanding about God and who God is and what God is, and God doesn't change, and when we think about the power of God, we know, I believe it's over there in Isaiah 40 and verse 22, where he said that he set up a little circle of the earth. That's big God, isn't it? You think that's big? Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 12, where he said that he can measure all the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand. That's big God, isn't it? What do you compare him to? Nothing. Why? Because he is God. John 3 and 24 says, God is the Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that tells us that outside the Spirit, you cannot worship God. Outside the truth, you cannot worship God. So you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Then he tells us over there in Romans, in the Roman letter, he said, as many as are living, Romans 8 and 14, as many as are living in the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we find there that God leads his people. Now when we think about God, and we think about the God and who he is and what he is, and a lot of people want to look at God as if they're looking at a person. People, God is not a person like we are. He is God. He is God of the universe. In Job's writing, in Job 26 and verse 7, said that he stretched the north out over an empty place and hung the earth upon nothing. That's big God, isn't it? That can just reach out where there's nothing and create something and place it there and say, stay. Over there in 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter and 41st verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and 41. He says there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star in glory. God placed them all there. We read over there in Job's writing, Job 25 and verse 5, he said, behold the moon, and it shineth not. See, it took the world a long time to discover that moon didn't shine and give light to Satan, because the telescopes had been in 1608, so sometime after that they discovered, well, that moon is just a reflected light of the sun. But God put this word from all of us. Over in Leviticus 17, verse 11, He said there concerning the life of the flesh is in the blood. But there's a man by the name of William Harvey discovered the circulation system in the mid-1500s, and they thought what a great medical thing had been done. This man had discovered something that nobody had ever found out, but yet it was in God's word from the beginning, way before we departed. So these things that I'm telling you about, we want to give men praise sometimes because of different things, but if we'll search the word of God, we'll find out that God knew it all the time, and man only found out what God permitted them to. We have lights in the building today. We have heat and air conditioning. All these things that we have, it didn't come along by circumstance or happenstance. God gave it to us. In Jeremiah 10, in verse 13, he talks about how the rain descends from the heaven and he maketh lightning with rain. See, he was telling us there that there was electricity there from the beginning. So we want to give Benjamin Franklin great credit, but listen, God is the one that's due the credit. See, when we start thinking about God and comparing God to man, there's no comparison at all. God created, when God needed a Moses, God sent a Moses. When God needed a man, God sent a man. When God needed one to be a forerunner for Christ, he sent John. When God needed a Baptist, God sent one. All the things of this life, God has given us and God has sent us. So let us recognize who that God is and what that God is. I want to go back to the reading lesson just for a minute because it brought to my mind the latter part of that reading lesson. He says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Let me ask you a question here. How can you give any glory to the Lord because he is glory? How can you give him any strength because he's all powerful? But then he says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of wholeness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. What he's saying here is not that we give the Lord any of these things, but what he's saying is to recognize who he is. See him for who he is. He's powerful, he's mighty. You didn't get up this morning because that you took your vitamins, because that you exercised. You got up this morning because God gave you the strength to rise. You didn't stand up on your feet and make steps today because that you designed your steps. God has designed your steps. You know what David said? He said there's just one step between me and heaven. Is that what you did? See, it's important today that we keep things right with God. It's important today that we see God for who God is. God is powerful. Everything that we see in this world, every bush, every tree, every weed, everything cries out God. And yet there's so many people in the world today that want to say there is no God. And he said over there in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Listen, people, today, it's a very foolish thing today for anybody to say that there is not a God. Everything in the world cries out God. Psalm 127 says, lo, children are hearing the Lord. Through the womb's his reward. God created you. He created your babies. He gave them to you. That's what he says. Psalm 127, lo, children are hearing the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Then he tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go when it's old and not depart from him. God has given you something that you're to bring up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you're to describe who God is, and you're to teach them and to train them. I believe today that we have so many problems with children today because parents are on drugs and all these things, and God is left out of the home. What's happened to family prayer? What's happened to people you know, whenever I was just a boy and I grew up, it wasn't anything unusual to come to church on Sunday morning and see people shouting and giving God praise. But where did the praise go? What has happened? God hasn't changed, but something has changed around us, because the old church today, I don't think she gives praise to God for who God is. God's mighty. God's powerful. God can snuff me out just that quick, or you or anybody else. He don't need anybody. He don't need anybody to do these things. We studied in Sunday school this morning and talked about the condition of the world in today, with everybody's on the edge and they're worried about all these wars and these things that could come to pass and peace up, and instead of worrying. And by the way, you won't find that word to worry. God worries. You won't find worry, no worry there. Why? Because it's right opposite from faith. That's why it's not in the Bible. We're to look to God in faith. Trust Him and ask Him for help. Look into the hills from which cometh our help. You say, we look to God and trust in Him. Now listen, we're as human instruments, we're going to make mistakes. People make mistakes. Churches make mistakes. That's why God tells us that we're praying every day. We're asked God for forgiveness every day. The Bible says when sin is finished, bring forth the day back to this judgment. Sin is destroying us in our bodies. It's over there in the Roman letters, Romans, I can't seem to quote it, but I know where it's at. It's over in Romans 5:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we think about these things, and we think about all these things concerning God and God's strength and God's power, and who God is, and how that God holds all things in His hand. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we think about these things, and we think about what God is, and who God is, and God's great power, we need to understand that God is the one that gives life. Sin destroys the flesh. Started with Adam. See, Adam was created, designed to last forever, but we sin every day. So I want to think about something for a minute, and I'm going to be lengthy. I'm going to be lengthy this morning, but I want to say the things that God wants me to say. Now, whenever I say that we need to take a good look at God, and God look at ourselves, have you looked at yourself lately and seen just exactly who you are? Let me ask you a question. What does God owe you? I look at myself that often, and I see the mercies of God all around me. God is so good to us. David was a man that loved God and feared God. You know, the first king of Israel was the people's choice, Saul. But Saul failed God in 1 Samuel 15. And God said, he remembered what Amalek did to Israel, how they laid for Israel, and put out of Egypt, so a book to destroy Amalek. But we find out that Saul went out and he didn't do what God said to do. God defrocked him. And God told Samuel, said, put my oil in your horn and go anoint me a new king. So he went to the household of Jesse, and all the sons passed by, and none of them was the right one. He said, is there any yet? He said, yeah, there's one out there in the flock. He said, go bring him. So they brought him in. And he was this little boy, his name was David, and anointed David the king of Israel. Then God began to walk with David. Saul became jealous of David, and Saul sought out to destroy David, to kill David. But all the time that Saul was trying to trot him down, God was lifting him up. The world trots you down, but you've got things right between you and God. God lifts you up. Now David, whenever that David walked with the Lord was with him. There came a time in David's life that whenever his army was out of battle, he was at home and he went up. Another part, and he overlooked it. He seen Bathsheba bathing, and he had a lust for her. He created a sin of lust. God wasn't pleased with that. He called her in, committed adultery with her. God wasn't pleased with that. She was a child. He tried to hide his sin. So he called in Uriah from the battle, and he wouldn't even go in. to his wife. So he said, well, the only thing that we can do is to have him destroyed.
So he sent,
I guess you could say, the crew put him in the front of the heat battle that he'd be killed, and he took the sheep with his wife. And all of a sudden, Nathan the prophet came to him and told him about his sin and what he had done. His son was going to die. His heart was broke. He fell down in sackcloth and ashes, and he wouldn't bathe, he wouldn't shave, he wouldn't do anything. But he cried out mightily to God that God would forgive him. But yet we find that whenever the servants come around and they begin to murmur, and all of a sudden he realized that his son had died, he said, I can't bring him back, but he can go to him. He knew his God, and he knew his God lived. People today, I tell you, God lives. And when God saved the soul, that soul is saved eternally. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. My mother used to get pieces when I used to fall. Many of you don't understand all this, I'm sure, but my mother, we'd have no kibbles. She'd boil them in jars in those kibbles, and she'd cook those peaches on a hot stove, and she'd pour those peaches in those jars, and she'd put that lid on them, and she'd set them up on the meal chest. She had a pal out there, and she'd set them up on the meal chest, and after a while, she'd hear one of those lids popped, and her saying was, that my heat. Why? Because it's sealed. And that's what God's saying. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. John's writing, John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. But he goes on and says, there concerning that, and I can't quote it, but he says concerning that, where he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He talked about the safety and the protection that was in his hands there. And let me tell you something, people, today, we're safe in God's hands. We're just as safe as we can be in God's hands. There is no way at all that harm can come to us as long as we're in God's hands. He says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. See, eternal life doesn't end. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, he says, you're just as safe as you can be because you're in my hand. But then he goes on further. And he said, and my Father, which given them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we find there's a double security, you say. If Jesus' hand is not enough, then there's God the Father. And there's God the Holy Spirit. People today, we're just as safe as we can be. David, when David had sinned, David was saved. But David gave his plea to God, and it's recorded in the 51st Psalm. David tells us in about the 5th verse of that 51st Psalm, he said, I was shaken in iniquity and sin, my mother conceived me. But then he went on down to the 12th verse, and he asked God, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. See, David had sinned, and he broke God's heart, he broke God's law, broke God's heart. And there's a penalty to be paid. You know what God told him? He'd forgive him the sin, the sword wouldn't leave his eyes. In other words, there's still a measure there. And it didn't. But yet we find that even though that David had committed so many great sins, and by the way, did you not know that David was a preacher? How about his son Solomon? Ecclesiastes 1. The word Ecclesiastes is preacher. Solomon was preaching. God loved him. And even though David had sinned, when David fell down before God, and when David seen himself for who he was a sinner, and he knew that sin had separated between him and God, he fell down before God, and then he looked at God and seen God for who he was, and he cried out mightily to God, and God forgave him of his sin. 9:5 said, "Live and know they must die." David knew his day of death was coming, but God spared him for time. But then we find in Matthew 1 and verse 1, very first verse of the New Testament, it says, "Jesus Christ, the Son of David." 12 times in the New Testament, it says, "Jesus Christ, the Son of David." Even though David had sinned, God loved him. He loved him enough that he told us, I believe it's over there in Acts 13 and verse 22, that David was a man, David the son of Jesse, was a man after my own heart. See, we make mistakes, people. We're going to make mistakes. Lost, we're going to make mistakes. But listen, what we need to do is look back to God and see God for who he is. God knew we were going to make mistakes. There's two things that God never ever says. You remember this. God never ever says, "Uh-oh," or "Oh me." I said, you get before it's going to happen. He knows you, but people listen. Look to God and cry to God. Lost people, if you're here today, if you're going here in the house today, and you've never bowed and humbled your heart before God, I beg you, see God for who he is. Understand the mercies of God and how that God loved you enough that God sent his Son into the world to pay the sin debt yonder on Calvary's tree that we could walk free today. What a wonderful gift it is from God that God would give his Son and his Son would give his life that we as sinners could walk free before God. Listen, man, today if we got justice, we'd all be cast into hell. But we got mercy through Jesus Christ, his Son. God loves us. He gave his Son for us. We make mistakes, we fall. And we're going to do that. When we do, cry out to God. Keep everything that we can as open as we can between us and God. Parents today and grandparents, have you ever had your get a phone call in the middle of the night and say you had a grandchild in an accident? I have. You ain't got a day or two to get things right with God to get a prayer through for them. You need to be ready to pray. You need to stand ready to pray. You need to pray daily and ask God to forgive you and try to walk upright before him, before a lost and dying world. Listen, people, God has got a job for each of us to do, and we'll do it with his help and by his strength. Who is God? He's the God of all glory. He is the one that's created all things. You and I, he knows all he is to know about us. Let us serve him in the beauty of his holiness. God is God. We're sinners. Listen, people, today, let us get things right as much as we can. Let us try our best with the help and the strength of God to win lost sinners to his kingdom. People, that's what our purpose is. God didn't save you to come to church on Sunday morning and fill up a pew and then go back out into the world and do as you want to and come back next Sunday. God saved you into service. Serve God. It's a wonderful, wonderful, joyful life. I remember when the Lord called me to preach. I thought, Lord, I can't do that. I fought that as hard as I know how to fight it for years. And then finally I come down to the place and I realized that I was going to die. And I felt like I would too. And then I owned my call and preach because I could never see myself standing right here. I couldn't envision myself standing behind God's sacred desk preaching from God's word. I couldn't see myself doing that. I was a backward, bashful boy. And I thought, Lord, I just can't do that. And people, I pay today. I still can't do that. But with God's help, I can. I can do all things through him that strengthened me. But without him, I can do nothing. And that's the way it is with each and every one of them. Don't say, I can't. Say, Lord, I will if you'll help me. God is God. That's the message the Lord put on my heart today. I hope it done somebody some good. It done me good studying it. It done me good trying to make preparations. But I turn the service back over to the brother. You're lost today. God's office is open. Let's all stand and turn to page number 51, come around and sit again.
I'd just like to say I enjoy it, for God's sake. I thank God for doing this. I thank God for everybody's